Okay.
Thank you.
Oh. But your eyes are good.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm thankful I have a. I'm very lucky. But you definitely feel it. It just feels warm right now because I've been reading.
Your eye kiss is warm.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
And then she's got a broken wrist. She fell putting stuff up in the garage.
Yeah.
Thank goodness somebody was putting carpet on there or nobody would have found her. Yeah. Well, she works for the Lord. That's why.
Right. You're familiar.
This is Debbie. She's the director.
Instructor notes.
Okay,
right here it would say instructor foundation for life, instructor notes. Okay, no problem. Oh, I stashed them away. So there was a child that they had practiced repeatedly on Sunday school. One of their events, it was Isaiah 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And the teacher said, let's say it again. Isaiah 50, say it with me, 53:6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. Good job. Let's say it again.
Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6.
Good job, class. Let's say it again.
Isaiah 53:6.
I like that.
You get it, right? Mm-hmm. So the teacher had gone over it 8 to 10 times. He had heard, he had gone to a conference and he had heard that 8 to 10 times they needed to repeat it for them to remember it. And so 8 to 10 times he had them say it again. Let's say it again. Well, he was so pleased when next week, little Wendy came in and said, I know the memory verse from last week.
Oh.
Let's hear it, Wendy. And Wendy says, all we like sheep have gone to Australia. Had he made his point? Had they learned the verse? Did they even know what it meant?
No.
If that was his whole teaching. His thought, since of the, it said on his paperwork, teach them the memory verse. So he figured all he had to do was get them to memorize it. But we know that it's more than that. Learning God's word is the foundation, the very foundation of our lives. For me, if they can leave with that God's word in their heart, in their mind, in their heart, in their life, they're one step ahead of the game. They may not learn the Bible story. You may remember the Bible story. There was a lion, and there was a man in a cave, and I don't think the lion ate the man. There was somebody else in there. But if he can come back and remember the verse, that's a verse that he'll have in his heart forever. Not that the Bible story is insignificant. It is. But having the Bible verse, how can a young man cleanse his way, keep his way clean? By taking heed according to God's word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Thy word.
It's not thy Bible story, right? It's not thy object lesson I have hidden in my heart. Those are all good. Those are all significant for guiding the child to better and clearer understanding of our Lord. But it's his word, God's word. I have too many gizmos here. So God's word is valuable. We're commanded to teach the word to his children. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. Read it with me. And these words which I command you in your hearts, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So who's supposed to do that?
We are.
Yeah. You. It doesn't say I command someone else to do it. I've called you to do it. And you shall teach them how?
Diligently.
Not just, and by the way, but diligently. That's your purpose. And you're going to talk to, when you're talking to them, when you're sitting with them, when you're walking with them, when they lay down, and then when they rise up. Now, we may not see them when they're going night-night, but we want to encourage them to talk to the Lord. When the time that we have them, we want to instill in them times and encourage them to call upon the Lord when you get up in the morning, when you lay down. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere, any place about anything. Can you talk to God when you're taking a shower?
Absolutely.
What about when you're on timeout? Can you talk to God, man? You can talk to God about anything. What about if somebody's bullying you? Can you talk to God then?
Yes.
What about if you have to clean up your room? Is that a good time to talk to God? Mm-hmm. Some kids may say no.
Oh.
Right? Because I'm cleaning my room. But yeah, yes, that is when you can talk to God. Please, Lord, help me clean my room. I do it almost every day. I have to ask him, please help me. But we want to encourage the children that they can talk to God all of these times. We may not be with them during all of these times, but we can encourage them. Why don't you open the window? In this changing world, the children need something they can cling to, something sure and steadfast, what never changes. There's only one thing that I know that never changes. What's better than the sure word of God?
Amen.
They need to know that they can hold on to God's word, that it's going to be sure. It's going to be always there. It's never changing. But the heavens and earth will pass away, but what? Forever, isn't it? It doesn't change. And we need to let them know that, yes, it was written. Because I've had children say, well, wasn't this written 2,000 years ago? Yes. It's good then, and it's still good now. It's the same God's word. It doesn't change. Just like God doesn't change, He's the same from the beginning of creation. He's always been the same forever. The Holy Spirit will use a word that has been hidden in the child's heart. 1 Peter 1:23 says to draw, is a good verse to draw the unsaved child to Christ. We're going to do, who brought their Bibles? Who has their Bibles? We're going to do a sword drill. Ladies and gentlemen, always when you come to training, always when you come to teaching, you bring your Bible. Okay, so Psalm 119:9.
Oh, there's one behind you.
Anybody?
One minute. Psalm 119:9.
As soon as you find it, please read it.
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
To help the child in his daily living. 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter.
But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope, of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
The meekness and fear part. The meekness part, sometimes when people want to know why. Why do you believe in God? How do you, well, won't you be red-faced when you find out that it wasn't true? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be meek when I answer that. But we want to win others over, don't we? And the children are going to have instances in the playground and in their families even where they're going to come home excited. I know I was raising my half-brother and he came home with God's word. He wanted to tell me and I was not a Christian. So it didn't really have, I didn't have that same excitement for him. And there's others, maybe they're from a different faith and they don't have that same excitement for their child. We want to encourage the child to share what they know with the others out there. They got to be prepared to witness. Isaiah 26:3. Not 53:6.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.
So the Holy
Spirit, he trusts in thee.
Because he trusts in you. The Holy Spirit will use God's word to bring comfort to a troubled heart. Matthew 22:29. Matthew 22:29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
So we use God's word to combat unsound doctrine. See, the children need to know God's word. Psalm 119:171.
Did you say 119?
119:171.
May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees.
To help you praise God. The children need these just like we need them. Just because they're little people, they're people with the same heart, the same troubles, the same woes, the degree and the situations may be different, but they have woes as well. So what we're going to teach you today is the I pair method. The steps to follow when teaching a Bible verse. So the I stands for introduce it. The P stands for present it. And we're going to be giving you examples. E stands for explain it. Did our teacher at the beginning of our session, did he teach the verse? He had them repeating it, didn't he? But he did hadn't taught it. Apply it. How do I use this in my daily life? Repeat it and review it. I pair. Say it with me.
I pair.
So you'll remember that, I didn't introduce it. How would we say? Okay, today's Bible verse is... Well, no, that's...
The one you did earlier?
No. You don't want to teach the children. Today's Bible verse is... Isaiah 53:6. Mm-hmm. All we like sheep have gone astray. Okay? Let's say it. You haven't taught it. You didn't tell them. You didn't get their attention. Mm-hmm. Introduction to get their attention. You didn't present it as from the true word of God. 100% true. Always. You didn't explain what the verse meant. Didn't apply it. How do I use this verse? All we like sheep. We're like sheep. Sheep want to go their own way. Our natural way is to want to go our own way. Just like those sheep. But God, apply it. But God wants us to stay close to Him. So He's like our shepherd who wants us to stay close. He will help us stay close to Him. Applying it. What does that verse mean to me in my life? How can I use that? How can that child take that home with them and use it? There was a lady that I met when I first came to Christ, and she said that she was in her late 20s, and she had woken up in a situation that she had found herself in many of those situations on a regular basis through the majority of her 20s. And when she woke up face down on the floor, what came to mind was a Bible verse that she had learned in the second grade. Mm-hmm. She couldn't tell, she said she didn't know where the address was, but she knew that verse. And from that moment on, she changed, her life turned around. That God grabbed her heart, came real for her then, at that moment. It was the beginning of her life. Repeat it, review it. In a fun way that holds their attention, that they're excited about it, that they want to learn it. So introduce it. Something that relates to the child. Use an object. Your word is a light to my path. Okay. So if I hold my hand, can you see inside my fingers? Can you see inside anything in there?
Not really.
Why?
Dark in there.
It's dark. But when I open it, when I open enough, you can see, right? The Bible tells us that we walk in darkness. But God, Jesus, is that light that leads our path. So that we don't fall in
like that.
Ask a question. I am the bread of life. You say that verse. How many times do you eat a day? We're looking at introductions. Okay. How many times do you eat a day? One time, two times. I'm on a diet, so I eat all day.
So I see that.
Like a that seafood diet.
Seafood.
Right.
S-E-E.
It is funny.
The Bible says that God will give us food that will never be hungry. Well, that's how you would introduce it. How many times a day do you eat? And then you can go into your verse. Mm-hmm. Show a picture. Maybe of a lamb. Remember that we're like sheep? Maybe they show them a picture of a lamb and tell them a little bit about the lamb. Present it. Establish the Bible verse as the Word of God and read it directly from your Bible, not just from a visual. I would encourage you to have visuals. We have them up there. We have it in two forms. Okay? So, I have the verse like this, and I have my Bible. And if I say, I have loved you with an eternal love, does that match? Okay, what is that going to send for the say for the child to the child?
Eternal means everlasting.
Not really. They're going to say, oh, match. Okay, so whatever you're going to do, make sure your Bible matches your visual.
Right.
Okay. If you don't have a Bible, like this is ESV. Maybe you use King James, New King James in church, and you haven't gotten around to getting an ESV. Then put a post-it here that has the ESV so that when you read it to that child, you're reading, you're matching. Okay? That's important. Because that's just one more thing you're going to have to explain to the child about, oh, there's many versions. And you're going to do that in their time together. But let it not be each time, because you may have a different child each time, a new child. And now you have to go through all that over again. We want to explain them the important stuff, not some of this stuff that can be avoided. Okay? Always teach the address at the beginning and at the end. The beginning and at the end. That way it reinforces that verse. So that if they don't remember where that the sheep has gone to Australia and not to Australia, they will remember that verse. Mm-hmm. Am I saying it right? Let me go back and look it up. Say the reference. So we want to teach it from here. If I invite you to a party and tell you I'm going to have carne asada, and I'm going to have some fried chicken, and I'm going to have some yummy pie and some ice cream, I want you to all come to my house and have lunch with me at my party, okay? All right, I'll see you there on Saturday. Well, what did I leave out?
With directions.
I want to have all that seafood on my own. We want to tell them where to find it. Right? Mm-hmm. The same thing. It's like you don't want to be invited to the party without all the information. That's the same
all
thing.
All the information.
Give them all the information. Explain it. Let them know the meaning of the unfamiliar words and concepts. Do you think the children knew what astray meant? No. If the verse comes from the scripture portion, you're teaching, be careful not to give away the part of the lesson that you don't want as you explain the verse. So you don't want to give away your story. If you're just teaching the Bible verse and it comes from a portion of your Bible story, be sure you don't give away your story, because you want to build on your story. And then the end happens, the climax, the conclusion. Right? So you don't want to give away that Daniel didn't get eaten up at the beginning. You don't want to tell them that at the beginning. You want to have them to listen, right? Sometimes, and I know this is about a Bible story and not a Bible lesson, because I know you've all had a situation where a child says, I know this lesson. I know this story. Encourage them to, will you listen? And don't give away my story. Or they want to tell their part. Mm-hmm. Ask them to wait. Can you wait? Somebody has something to say. I'm going to tell it a different way. Get them excited about it, even though they've heard it, you're going to tell it a different way. And then now you really have to beef it up, don't you? But also, and they're just going to, if you ask them a question, if you're asking them questions, ask them for a child to give you one answer. Otherwise, you'll have one child giving you all the answers. So just Can you tell me one thing about Jesus that we learned last week? Can you tell me one thing that we learned about Zacchaeus last week?
In the tree. Oh, okay.
So, in the tree, okay. What else did we learn about Zacchaeus?
He was a tax collector.
He was a tax collector. Now, see, you could have said he was a tax collector. Nobody liked him. He was short. Let's not hold that against him.
But he was,
and then he was in the tree.
He was in the tree.
Yeah. You can get all that from one child. So we want to... that's why I personally say...
One.
We want to apply it. Briefly explain how the verse relates to the unsaved child and to the saved child. So in your preparations of your Bible story or in your Bible story as well, but your memory verse, because you have prepared in advance and you just didn't pull it out of the drawer and ran off to your Bible lesson, you have prepared. You have something to share for the saved child and for the unsaved child. And Miss Margie is going to give you a sample of what it looks like in action. For the saved, unsaved child, it's always what? To receive Christ. And you'll have an opportunity to do that during our after our Bible lesson. For the saved child, if it is all we like sheep have gone astray, if you've asked Jesus to forgive your sin and you're a child of God, you know that He wants you to stay, not to wander off. And you can do that by reading your Bible. You can stay close to Jesus by reading your Bible. So you find something for the saved child, something for the unsaved child. Each time. That's important. Some verses apply more specifically to one group than other group. But be sure you have something for each child. And help the child to apply it to his life. Give him an example. You don't have to give them a lot of examples, but give them an example that applies to that age group or that group of children. Maybe your church kids may have different issues than your release time children, right? So be through prayer, through preparation, prayer, and your presentation in advance. You'll be able to, God will speak to you for that, whichever group that you're ministering to that day. But you have to do it in advance. Not that He can't speak to you in the moment, but I have a theme going here. Do it in advance. Great preparation. Apply it. We want them to, how can they use it in their lives? That's important. Is it a fact? Then remember it. Is it a promise? Then claim it as your very own. Is it a command? Then do what it says. Repeat it. Repetition is essential to learning. How many times do I have to tell you that? Who has said that to their children? If I have to say it one more time, once or twice is not enough. Have your children repeat it at least 8 to 10 times, but not like this. Say it again. Make it fun. Use a variety of ways. And Miss Margie is going to show you a variety of ways. Lately, we've been singing them, singing the verses. That seems to really get the children excited. And hand motions.
Yeah.
We have videos that show us the hand motions, but before we had the videos, we just thought it out, you know, and did the same. Same motions for one word that we might have used for another word. So that when the children are learning, if you're making your own motions, don't have this for Jesus one day and then this for Jesus another day. Have it the same so that they begin to know what the verses, what the motions are. Be consistent. Review it. Different through your Bible lesson, through your the following week, you can redo that memory verse, especially through your lesson. We incorporate it into our lesson, our story. We want to come back to it We want them to know it, and we want to know how it applies in that situation, in that Bible story lesson. So we want to be using it and be repeating it. Quote it in the appropriate place for the lesson. Repeat it as you stand to sing a song. Say it while you distribute take-home papers. Maybe they're lining up for snacks. Let's say our memory verse while we're getting our snacks, while we're folding up the chairs. See, and so if it's a song, it's even more attention getter. So they can sing it while they're moving the chairs or do whatever. Whatever the case is, while you still have them in class, if there shouldn't be any dead time, because you can keep them moving. Keep them moving along with the song or with the verse. And review the verse the following week. Give them a little paper with that takes the verse home that they can put it on their mirror. They can put it someplace by their nightstand or somewhere. They can read it in the morning. Will you read this each morning? Get them to commit to learning it. I have teachers that say, I'm not doing the papers anymore because they don't remember the verse next week anyway. Okay? It's the teacher's responsibility to encourage the child to find ways to say the verse. How about if we say it when you're having breakfast? Well, I have breakfast at school. Good. That's a good time to do it. Not, get nervous about that. How about before you go to bed? Will you say your verse before you go to bed? That's one way to talk to God, is by saying your Bible verse. That's God's word, and He likes His children to hear His word, to say His word. Repeat it. Check to see how many can say the words, know the meaning, or have obeyed what it said. Ask them the next week. Follow up with it. Make it part of an active part of your time with the children. Just giving them the piece of paper on the way out. Here's your snack and your Bible verse. Which one is going to get taken care of? Use visual aids, a tool used to convey to enhance the learning process. It's the memory, the visual. It's a tool. And it's going to match your Bible. Children can't recall what they haven't learned. So children see, they learn by seeing, by hearing, by doing, by saying, all those different ways. So you need to appeal to the child, the different learning styles. If you're teaching from a bus, you can still do it. You can even make it this big. They can all see it. And you can fold it up, put it in back in your stuff to take home. Doesn't have to be big and elaborate. But if they can see it, that's going to be better for them. They'll learn it. Seeing it, hearing it, repeating it. Having fun with it. Singing it. Reasons for using visual aids. The students learn more effectively. It creates an atmosphere of anticipation and excitement. You need to see it. It allows you to clarify your ideas and your teaching and the specific words. So I can say, this is our verse today. God said, I as God speaking, have loved you. Who? Me. Is that me? Or is that you? With an everlasting love. What does everlasting mean?
Forever.
Forever. That's right. It means forever. For eternity is another word for everlasting. Okay. So by them seeing it, you can point to it. Okay, so let's cover up this word you can put a post-it there. So you can, by having it on a visual, you can, or even a whiteboard. We have a whiteboard that's about this size. So we can just, write different things on it, erase it. And then pretty soon erase everything, and they like that challenge. Be creative. The kids may like a game that you played with them, a repetition game that you played with them this week. Don't use it next week. You may be tempted to because you already know it, you already have it all worked out, and the kids liked it. That's great. Save it. Save it for a time or two down the road. Don't do the same thing the next week. Even though the kids like it, do something different. They'll like that too. And then you have that in your pocket to use at a later date. Have your visuals neat and attractive. Not all crumpled up or all scribbled together. They don't have to be big fancy verses, printed verses like this. But let it be neat and clean. I would encourage you not to use different color. Make each word a different color. That's hard to read. You know, if you're using it on a whiteboard, this is blue, this is red, this is green. That's not easy to read. I know, I've tried it. And handle them correctly. So, just say, I'll use this example because it's little. If I'm talking to you about this gold color, what is the problem here? Okay, so if I'm holding this up like this for you, what's the problem?
Some
covering, right? So, if you're using visuals that have a person's head on them, don't hold them by their head. They're supposed to be real people. So you want to be sure that you hold them. If I hold it like this, what's the problem here?
Too low.
It's not only is it too low, it's pointed up.
It's going
right. Yeah. Can't see it. And if there's a reflection off of it, they can't see it.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to hold them like this. If you can't post it, like she's posted it here, hold it like this. Or get somebody else to hold it. Okay. I personally don't often have children holding the visuals because then they're not learning it. Okay, a lot of people like to have the kids participating. Me personally, that takes them out of the learning loop. I could be wrong, but so do it with these. Excitement. Use a positive approach. Be enthusiastic. Do it as an example. Know the verse yourself. Some people say, oh, yeah, but now that I'm older, I don't. No. Take the time. God says he will give you what you need. You can learn it. Expectation. Do with expectation. Believe the children can do it. So if you're telling it to them because they're not really giving it a second thought because they don't come back tomorrow, next weekend. Nobody remembers the verse. Nobody ever remembers my verses. I teach them all the time. Nobody remembers anything the next week. Okay. Are we going to look at the children not learning them, or are we going to look at our teaching presentation?
Both.
Okay. More often than not, it's because we're not giving enough time.
Making it fun, yeah.
Making it fun. We're not giving enough time for preparation. Most oftentimes, okay, I'm going to say this. Please don't hurt me. The big problem of student inattention is oftentimes the teacher because they haven't prepared.
And they're tired or something.
Or they're tired. Or they're monotone. They're just talking like this. I'm not saying every discipline problem is the teacher's fault. But oftentimes, teachers, and they know when they're there. They know when they're there. Yes, ma'am.
I just need to ask a question. So the children that you are speaking, the reference of children, are children who are in release or children who are in Sunday school?
Children in general.
Because the children who are in release have six classes? Oh, they're in middle. They're not middle school. They're elementary school, but they have 6 hours a day at school. Mm-hmm. And many of them come very tired, and many of them come already impacted with so much information for the day. So when we do the scripture and we wait another week to come back and reteach and redo the scripture, many of them, after four and five and six times, haven't learned the scripture. So then do you still look at your strategies, or do you look at what's going on with the children?
Are you saying that they still come back and don't know it?
They still come back and don't know it.
Okay, yes, there is that real situation of they have a lot of things they're learning. But I bet you they can learn the newest Yu-Gi-Oh!
Of course.
Or whatever it is. So, so you, the latest song was
songs. Okay.
So no. That's where your strategy has to right. You have to beef up your strategy. You have to beef up your preparation.
We're being told to teach five scriptures in a given time, and we've had three meetings, and each time we're doing all the scriptures and go back and teach one. So I'm saying, I refuse to think that that's just the strategy, not because I've taught school for years, but because I've used many approaches, and I find that the students are taxed, they're tired, they're not interested, they're not motivated, and all the things I do not. So I really sat in on this because I'm thinking, okay, well, I need help, although I want to also know the strategy for bringing the child to Christ, even though they all claim to be members of a church. So I'm dealing with some issues that I'm thinking are going to be touched on.
Okay. So were you saying five verses in one day?
No. We have five scriptures. Yes. That they have to learn through the duration. So the ideal that has been expressed to us is that we do all five, but we teach one. Every day, let them repeat all five. Each time they come, let them repeat all five, but teach one. So I'm thinking, wow.
What that sounds like to me.
A lot.
That wasn't what I was going to say. Nice try.
That's a lot to me.
I'm going to take you in another direction.
Okay, good.
You have five for the quarter, let's say, or for the month. You teach one today.
For the whole semester.
5 months, I think she means.
5 months? 5 verses, 5 months?
Verses, 10 meetings.
Okay, so you're going to teach the first one, and you're going to make it fun, and you're going to make it exciting, and you're going to repeat it, and you're going to have them apply it to their life. And they're going to come back the next week and say that verse. And then you're going to teach them a new verse. And you're going to make it fun and exciting with a different game than we did last time, different repetition game. And then the following week, you're going to have them say that one and the week before. Then the next week, the same thing. So you're building. You're building on it. So this week you taught it with a song. The next week you taught it with a...
whiteboard.
Erase the words.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you've given them the paper, and you've encouraged them to say it at breakfast time, or say it when you
brush your teeth.
Okay. So you ask them, when do you think would be a good time for you to say it?
Showering.
When you're taking a shower. What about you? What would be a good
breakfast?
When would be a good time for you to say it?
Bedtime.
Okay. So it's all different. Work. You want to find what works for that child, just my way. Okay. We're all going to say it before we go to bed. Can everybody raise your hand if you're going to say it before you go to bed? Okay. I know you're all lying. No, you're not telling me. Because that may not work for all of them. You know, they may go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. So you find out what works for each child and teaching them according to their own curve. I hope that helps.
That helped.
But you're building on it. And I have this one lady, she would make songs to each verses, and those children would learn 26 to 28 verses. Our season goes from September to May. Mm-hmm. And those kids... I visited her class, and she would have them singing them each week.
Wow. She had time.
That was crazy.
Well, when the kids, some kids get there early. Well, this is what she did, because they had 28 verses. But she worked with them. And when the kids that got there early, she started working with them as soon as they got there. Or she had her helper, while she was setting up, she had her helper having them repeat the memory verses.
Walking to the class or leaving the class, sometimes the children can say them. But I'm a little disappointed to say that I haven't met the success that maybe other people have met. I have still found that a few, those who are ready learners, are very motivated, are involved, and they have a kind of commitment to the class. They are learning them, but the ones that you know you want to really touch their heart and spirit.
We were supposed to memorize.
That sounds interesting.
What I used to do when we ride the bus over for this time, we would teach them the lesson or the memory verse on the way over, and then also on the way back. But then the next week, when they came back to say it, I would give them a key. And it had their memory verse on it. The only way they got that key was to know their memory verse. Uh-huh. And then they got the keys to that the kingdom, and they carried them around on it.
And that was my next...
idea.
That's okay, that's good.
No, I want to hear.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Incentives. Some people will say, well, I'm not going to pay them to learn God's word.
I will.
We get donuts when we go to church, don't we? What kind of setup is that? I have to get some new shoes so that I could, you know, get there. Incentives are okay. You're not bribing them. And remember this: God's word does not return
void.
So even though it may seem, look at that woman that didn't, that second grade verse didn't click in until she was in her late 20s. But it clicked in.
Yeah, wow.
So,
yeah.
Okay, I've taken up Miss Margie's time. I'm going to get in trouble. Remember, quality versus quantity. It has to be more than just memorizing. If they don't understand it, yeah, haven't then you go. God's word needs to help them when they are, say it with me, fearful, depressed, angry, tempted, impatient, jealous, and facing hundreds of such situations. And you know who else it'll help as you're learning those verses? Children can't not recall what they have not learned. The Lord says He will bring all things back to our remembrance. What does that mean? We have to remember. Okay, Miss Margie.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're 11:35.
Okay. Or when they come and bang us on the bang.
Bang. Okay. So, can I use this?
Yes.
Okay, have you ever wanted something so badly to go on forever and ever, like a special day or Christmas? Yeah, we hope that it never stops, right? We just wanted to go on and on and on. Well, the Bible is God's love letter to you. And the Old Testament talks about God's someone as Savior. And the New Testament talks about who that Savior is. And it's Jesus. You know, Jesus died on the cross to take your punishment, and then He came alive again. Our memory verse is found in the Old Testament. And it is found in Jeremiah 31:3b. And we have it right here. Miss Christina, can you hold this? And while I'm reading it, you're going to follow along and see if it says the same thing. Or I want everyone to read it with me. But what we're going to do is we're going to read the address on the beginning and at the end. So while I'm reading it, you're going to read it with me, okay?
Jeremiah 31:3b. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3b.
Thank you. Now this part, this is God talking to you. You know, God, He wanted to tell you something very special. In fact, He wants to tell you that He loves you. He loves you more than anyone else, more than anyone else could love you. His love lasts forever. And that's what it says here. With an everlasting love. His love will go on and on and on. It can never stop for you, no matter what we do in our life. For not being in a good attitude or we have a bad attitude, God still loves you right then and there. He's going to love you no matter what. And what I want you to do is I want you to remember that. I want you to remember no matter where you go in your life that God will always love you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you haven't trusted Him, He
this is his promise for you. And today, you can ask him so that you can have his love for you. But if you already know Jesus as your Savior, you know that this promise is for you. And you can share it with others who don't know Jesus as well. So I encourage you, if you already have trusted Jesus as your Savior, go and tell someone else that God loves them too. Now what we're going to do is we're going to learn this memory verse. And we're going to play it in some games, okay? So the first one is, to say it again.
Jeremiah 31.
Okay, ready?
Jeremiah 31:3b. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3b.
Okay, now for every letter that has an E in it, we're going to clap on that, okay? So, ready?
Jeremiah 31:3b. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3b.
Oh, here's your smile. I wanted a picture of you. Right. You guys have the cutest.
Okay, so now, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up with every letter that has a V in it, okay? So we're still going to clap with the word that has an E in it, all right?
Jeremiah 31:3b. I have loved you with
everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3b.
All right, good job. Okay, so that's one way of playing the game. Okay? That's one way. So another way is starting from this side over. This is group one, and this is group two. So group one is going to start by saying the address. Group two will say this, and then group will all say these two verses together. Okay? All of us. All right? Ready? Group one.
Jeremiah 31:3b.
Group two.
I have loved you.
Everyone.
You with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3b.
Okay, so we can. You could.
Faster.
Do it faster.
Faster. Oh, yeah.
All right, faster. Let's do it faster. Okay, ready?
Jeremiah 31:3b. I have loved you.
Good job. Okay.
Now slow. No, this is the one that doesn't
work. Now we have something special. This is going to be our workout here.
Oh boy.
We have time for this?
Sure.
Boss? Okay. Okay, so we're going to stand up and we're going to do the motions to this memory verse. And this is how it goes. All right. So,
that God, blessing love. We learned that in our memory verse. So we want to remember that fact so clearly in our minds. So we're going to learn a song to help us remember this verse. Hear the motions to the song. I point out to where God is in heaven. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Because everlasting means that it goes on forever. So that's how we're going to do our motion. Everlasting love. Now, it's also very important to remember where this verse is found in the Bible. So the song also has the reference in it. So during that part, we're going to swing our hands around and go Jeremiah 31:3, and then swing our hands around again and say Jeremiah 31:3. We also are going to play a game right in the middle of our verse. So anytime you hear the music, you hear someone whistle, we are going to play the game Follow the Leader. So you listen. Whenever you hear the whistling, line up behind your leader and do whatever they do. And we are going to have a great time learning God's Word.
Okay.
Okay. I had love.